Welcome to the Adult Explore the Bible Weekly Leader Training Podcast, the podcast where we dive deep into Scripture to uncover timeless truth. This podcast is designed to help teachers prepare to lead a Bible study group using Lifeway's Explore the Bible adult resources. Today on the podcast, we'll look at three key questions. First, what is the context of the passage? Second, what do we find in the passage? And third, what's one thing leaders should not miss in our leader resources this week? I'm Amber Vaden, your host. On the podcast with me today is Mike Livingston. Mike is an editor on our team, and specifically, he edits the Personal Study Guide and the Daily Discipleship Guide. He's the author of the prayer guide that comes out each quarter. So he has certainly added so much to these resources. Mike also leads an adult Bible study group at his church each week. So Mike, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Well, you're welcome. It's a privilege.
Glad to have you. So we're taking a look at session 5 today. So we will be examining Joshua chapter 7, verses 10 through 23. Well, I'll begin by sharing just a little bit of context. Where are we as we look at Joshua 7? Well, last week we studied the Israelites' conquest of Jericho, and that was in Joshua chapter 6. So that was certainly a memorable event. God instructed the Israelites to march around the city for 6 days, and then on the 7th, they shouted, and all of the walls crumbled. The Lord gave them that victory, and it appeared to be a clear demonstration of faithfulness on the part of the Israelites to obey God's instruction, and also a demonstration of God's faithfulness to act on their behalf. So this brings us to chapter 7, and really chapter 7 through 12 of Joshua tell us about the rest of the conquest of Canaan. Well, let's begin in Joshua 7, verses 10 through 15. We read about a disheartening defeat at Ai, where Joshua fell face down before the Lord and questioned his guidance, bringing the Israelites across the Jordan. The Lord responded by telling Joshua that Israel had sinned by stealing items that should have been set apart for the Lord, and he would not be with the Israelites until they removed the items. The Israelites were to consecrate themselves and present themselves before the Lord, who would identify the person who was responsible.
Well, as you're reading these verses, you may wonder, is this a story about one man's sin or the nation's sin?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go back, you know, and look at some of the background verses, like verse 1 of chapter 7, it says the Israelites were unfaithful, but Achan took some of what was set apart, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So the sin was committed by one man. It was committed by Achan. And he clearly violated the command that God had given in the previous chapter. In chapter 6, the Lord says the city, everything in the city of Jericho is to be set apart to the Lord for destruction or to go into the Lord's treasury. Achan clearly violated God's command. You come to verse 11 here. It says Israel has sinned. They have violated. They have taken. They have stolen. They have deceived. So is this a story about one man's sin, or is this a story of the nation's sin? And it's both. You can't separate the two. This is an example of the biblical concept of corporate solidarity. And it's hard for us in an individualistic culture to accept this idea of corporate solidarity. But in this context, the way you see it is one individual's action brought consequences on the entire community, the entire nation, because these people were bound together as a covenant people. You're bound together as a covenant people. And you see the same concept of corporate solidarity in the New Testament. You see it in a positive way in 1 Corinthians 12, where Paul talks about how the church is the body of Christ. This is the same concept, that each member contributes to the health and the function of the whole, and we're all connected. We're all connected. And you see it in a negative sense also when he writes to the Corinthians in chapter 5, where he's addressing sexual sin in the church. And he says, don't you know that a little leaven leavens the whole batch of dough? It's the same concept. So here, God has revealed it's Achan's sin. That's the reason they couldn't stand against their enemies. And he's saying, until you remove the sin from the camp, the people are going to live in defeat because of the sin of one man.
Yeah.
And there's a great truth. I mean, there's a lot of great truths in here, but one of the great truths is that when we hide our sin, when we try to cover up our sin, or we're not honest about our sin, it not only hurts us, but it affects all the people around us. Mm-hmm. We don't sin as individuals. We don't. We sin as not as individuals. We sin as husbands or wives or fathers or mothers. We sin as church members. Sin splashes. It doesn't just affect us. It affects the people closest to us.
Yeah. Goodness, this is a perfect passage to talk about the effects of sin, isn't it? Okay, let's take a look. Verses 16 through 19. We're still in Joshua chapter 7. Following God's instruction, Joshua called forward each tribe, clan, and family before the Lord. Achan from the tribe of Judah was selected as the person responsible for taking the devoted items, and Joshua instructed Achan to confess his sin and to give glory to God. So at first, you might look at these several verses and just think, oh, this is sort of the practical nuts and bolts of how the Lord brought each tribe, each clan, each family before him so that he could identify the person. But of course, we know the Lord already knew it was Achan. So one might ask the question, during all of this, during this whole situation, why didn't Achan just raise his hand and put an end to the whole process of 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. So he didn't do that. He had opportunity to, but he didn't take it. We still know a few things. Like you mentioned, sin splashes. That's a great way to think about it. The other thing is that the Lord already knows our sin. So even though Achan had not been previously, until just here, he had not been identified as the one who had done it. He knew, and the Lord knew. So we're not really, even if we think we can hide our sin, it's not really possible not to hide it from the Lord. We might hide it for a little bit from other people, but we won't hide it from the Lord. There's a paragraph in the leader guide that I think would be super helpful to bring to your group discussion. So on page 64, if in the commentary for verse 19, the author of our leader guide says this, and this is about Joshua's words to Achan. It was really some wise wisdom. It was good words. He was saying, make a confession. Tell me what you've done. Don't hide anything. And before all that, he said, give glory to the Lord. So Joshua's words, this is from the leader guide. Joshua's words did not distinguish between confessing sin and praising God. Rather, Achan would glorify the Lord by confessing his sin. So it's just a small part of verse 19 where he says, glorify the Lord. But I think it has a lot to teach us today about not hiding our sin, but what actually happens when we confess it and turn to the Lord in repentance. It brings glory to him. I just thought that was a great, and it goes on. There's another paragraph after that, which would also be a great discussion point to have with your group. Don't let this part go by. Have a minute or two to talk about confession and how it connects to us giving God glory, because that's a great part of this passage. Okay. The next few verses we'll take a look at, Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. Achan admitted to sinning against the Lord by taking some of the spoils from the conquest at Jericho. He told Joshua where he had hidden items, and the items were found and placed before all of the Israelites and the Lord. Ultimately, Achan, his family, and all his livestock were stoned to death in the Valley of Achor. And we read about that in verses 24 through 26. His material possessions were also destroyed. So it's kind of a sad ending to a very common story. Mike, talk to us about these verses.
So Achan finally admitted what he had done, but only when he got caught. Is only when Joshua confronted him, looked him in the eye, and demanded, "You tell me what you did." That's when he admitted it. I don't know that Achan confessed from a repentant heart.
He admitted
to what he did because he was caught and he knew he was caught. But what I want to focus on there, though, is in verse 21, his confession, his admitting what he did. Notice the terms he uses. He says, "I saw, I wanted, I took. I saw it, I wanted it, I took it."
Yep.
I mean, where else in the Bible do you see that same pattern of sin? The Garden of Eden. Eve saw the fruit. She desired it. She took it. David saw another man's wife, wanted her, took her. It's the pattern of sin.
Mm-hmm.
We see, we want, and we act. And we do it. It's still the pattern of sin. And we do it like Achan did it. You know, Achan must have thought, well, it's my life, is my business. It's my tent. What's in my tent is my business. Achan's sin, though, was like Eve's sin in another way, in how it affected everyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
Adam and Eve's sin affected the entire human race. Achan's sin affected his entire family and everyone around him. There's no such thing as a hidden sin, truly hidden sin. No sin is a private matter. Whenever we step outside of God's will, the impact reaches beyond our own lives. But in verse 23, you notice this, that after he admitted, they went and they found the things he had buried. They brought them to Joshua in verse 23 and to Joshua and the Israelites. And then notice what it says. They spread them out in the presence of the Lord's presence. They took all the things that he had buried, that he had taken, and they spread it out in the Lord's presence. They put it on display. And the most terrifying part of that is they're spreading it out before the Lord. You know, Hebrews 4:13 says, "All things are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Now, you kind of mentioned, Amber, how the chapter ends just on this note of judgment that Achan and his family are put to death in the Valley of Achor. What a grim ending, it's kind of a dark chapter, but we don't have to end that way. See, there's another place in the Bible where it talks about the Valley of Achor, and I think this is really important. There's another place where it's mentioned. The place of Achan's judgment is mentioned also in Hosea chapter 2, verse 15, where God says to his unfaithful people, they've been unfaithful to him. He has pronounced judgment on them in the first part of that chapter. But then he says in Hosea 2:15, "I will make the Valley of Achor a door of hope." The place of Achan's judgment would become a place of hope, a place of new beginnings, forgiveness, and restoration. So is there any good news in Joshua 7? Well, the good news, if you're looking for good news, it points us to the cross. Because there Jesus entered our Valley of Achor and he took our punishment. And that's why Paul could say in Romans, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So I think this lesson, I think the entire chapter leads us to the cross. It leads us to the cross. So go there, right? Share the gospel, end with the gospel.
Okay, that leads exactly into what I was going to talk about next. And I'm glad you said that because at first I thought you used the word grim and I thought it really is a grim chapter. It seems just like a lot of sadness and sorrow and missed opportunities to truly repent and glorify the Lord. This session, each quarter, we identify one, although usually there's more than one, but we identify one session that we label the evangelism session because it's going to offer a fabulous opportunity to share the gospel in your group and to open the door for conversations with any of the adults in your group that maybe want to talk about salvation that have not come to faith in Christ before. And so this, even though it is an example of the severity of sin's punishment, it is also an arrow that highlights God's grace, the cross. And so all that to say, each quarter we have this session that's an evangelism session. We also have a feature, the inside front cover of the personal study guide and the leader guide. There's always an article there that talks about coming to faith in Christ. It talks about sin and the salvation that we're offered through Jesus, and it gives like the ABCs of salvation. So it's a very short article that if you have someone in your group that is asking you about how to become a Christian or what it means to follow Jesus, that can be a starting point for your conversation with them. You can pull it open. This is the inside front cover of the book. Ask them to read through it, or y'all could talk through it together. And it gives a good, it gives just a brief, short, easy conversation to have that you can talk through, how to come to Christ and how to pray and ask the Lord to be your Savior. So it goes through admit, confess, and believe. This will always be in an article on the inside front cover. So you as the leader always have that available. Well, Mike, thank you for joining us on the podcast
today. You're welcome. You're all welcome.
Well, don't miss next week's episode. We will take a look at Session 6, a study of Joshua chapter 14, verses 1 through 15. Bob Bunn will be our guest next week as we continue this study, and we hope you'll join us.